Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Loneliness, one of the biggest social issues of our time. Today we'll be talking to Dr. Nadia Cassini, Senior Research Fellow at the Rosemary Bryant OA Research Centre at the University of South Australia, about the project she's been involved in called Spark, a community co-design model to fight loneliness. Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Nadia. I've been really looking forward to interviewing you about the Loneliness Project.
Thanks, Kerry. It's great to be with you.
Now, this has been going on for a while now, and you've had a lot of success. So perhaps before we get into that, you're a senior research fellow. What led you down the path of researching this particular community issue?
That's an interesting story. So my background is in psychology, and I've done work in a lot of different areas related to public health, so including looking at nutrition, so how people make decisions about food. I've done research into healthcare and how to support people to recover from illness, and looking at cancer and how to improve, I guess, quality of life after cancer treatment. And all of my experiences really led me to be really curious about the lived experience of the person who is undergoing treatment or struggling to make decisions about the food choices that they make. And I became really interested in how we can work more closely with people to understand, I guess, how our research can be more impactful and meaningful to help people in sort of their day-to-day decisions to improve their well-being. We had a really interesting opportunity come about through the National Women's Health Network that provided a seed grant to researchers to design a project in collaboration with the community in an area of women's health. So as you can imagine, that's quite a broad topic and lots of possibilities, of course, in improving healthy aging and women's health. And we held a number of community conversations to find out what were the top issues, what are the pressing priorities that women are seeing. And bubbling up to the surface was this concern about women putting themselves last, and in particular putting their social health last, so their friendships and their connections, because of all of the other, you know, pressures and demands on our lives. And when we looked at the scientific evidence to see how does this play out in the research, we discovered, and we were quite surprised to discover, that loneliness actually peaks around sort of the middle years, which is not what we expected, because we tend to think of loneliness as a challenge that affects older people. So what the community was telling us, really, this seems to be, I guess, underappreciated as a problem or a challenge that's facing people in the middle years, and it's not something that research tends to tackle head on. So we decided that we wanted to focus on this in our project with the community.
Loneliness is the term that everyone is using now. It's appearing in grants, it's appearing in projects and programs, but it seems such an ordinary term to describe something that has such a significant impact on people's lives.
Such an interesting perspective. I hadn't thought much about loneliness, to be honest, before this project came up. And it's a very individual feeling, really. The opposite of loneliness is the idea of social connection. So if we're feeling lonely, we're not connected. And what is that? What does that actually mean? How do people experience loneliness? The research tells us, but also people will tell you if you talk to them, that the experience of loneliness is really different depending on who you speak to. For some people, having a really wide network of close friends or acquaintances is really important. So the size of that network really matters to some people. And if they don't have that, they feel that their social needs are not being met. And for other people, they may have a very small social network and be entirely satisfied with that. So it very much is an individual experience. Some people really gain a lot of connectedness from nature and solitude. So for some people, that's a really important part of being connected with themselves, being connected with a bigger purpose. And for other people, really, it is about the larger crowd. So it is a very individual experience, which means that I guess the solutions also need to take into account the different experiences and needs that people have.
Nadia, would it be fair to say that there's often that old comment of, in a room full of people, I've never felt so alone? So it is situational as well, and old sayings, you can count your friends on one hand. So you're right, it is a very individual experience. How much do you think our online world has affected people's concept of loneliness and how connected they feel?
The online world's very interesting because what has happened over time is that face-to-face connection is being displaced with digital connection. It's not necessarily all bad that digital connection is all bad, but it can be if that is the only way that people are connecting. There's quite a difference in how we experience connection online. We have had that experience since COVID with the increase in, you know, telehealth, with doctors on the phone or via Zoom, meetings via Zoom. And the way that we connect is very, very different when you're looking at a two-dimensional image of a person compared to face-to-face. For younger people, certainly their lives are very much lived online. Younger generation is living a very performative existence online. So that really changes how people are connecting. And whilst they may have a very large group of online friends, younger people are certainly reporting that they're finding it more difficult to form those closer, deeper connections. So online is both, it can be, of course, a lifeline for people who are perhaps isolated or living in remote areas or who have perhaps a disability and who need a digital medium to connect. That can certainly be a lifeline for them. And depending on how people connect, there can be a positive to online, but there's very much that downside overall in that our online experiences are disproportionately displacing our face-to-face experiences, and it's those face-to-face connections that enable people to form deeper bonds.
Nadia, I'm interested to explore about the fact that focused on women. Have there been any stats between the differences between how women and men perceive loneliness and social connection?
Both men and women experience loneliness equally. And in fact, when you look at demographics, you know, socioeconomic background, where people live, there are fewer differences than what you would expect when you start to cut up the data in different ways. So it seems as though loneliness can affect everyone, and there's no group that is more at risk than another group, relatively speaking. Both women and men, particularly in midlife, the evidence tells us that there's a peak in loneliness around the middle years, and that's for both men and for women. So it seems that it's the transitions, life transitions and experiences that are, I guess, influencing experiences of loneliness more than gender.
Now, when you say middle years, what do you call middle years?
Quite a few definitions of middle years. I'm pretty broad with my thinking about middle years. I think about it roughly between the ages of 40 and 65, but generally, you know, those years, give or take.
And I'm also very interested in the fact that we all know that women over 55 are the fastest growing rate of homelessness. Do you think that's contributing to some of the statistics or some of this situation around that loneliness? Because if you don't have a home, you can't invite people over. You're not feeling secure in how you are to make those connections.
I do think the cost of living and pressures like that do contribute, definitely. It's hard to know with the stats just how representative they are of people in different circumstances. But I think certainly when we've been talking to people in our research, not having the means to go out and socialise is certainly a factor in people's experiences of loneliness, yes.
And of course, the cost of living would have only exacerbated that. We're talking to Dr. Nadia Cassini, Senior Research Fellow, about the loneliness project she's been involved in. Now, the project, SPARK, a community co-design model to fight loneliness, you conducted focus groups, looked at what was required. Just talk us through the project, Nadia, and where it's got to.
Sure. So what we did, after we established that the community wanted us to look at loneliness as a, you know, to address loneliness, we put out a challenge to the community, and we were working with the Hutt Community Centre in the Adelaide Hills. So we put a challenge out to women in that community to work with us to come up with solutions to address loneliness. And we had a really huge response. So there's certainly interest in the community when you put a challenge to them to attract the, you know, people that want to help, people that have had ideas, people that are the social innovators in the community. We then worked with them. So this was a partnership between the researchers and the community centre and the women in the community. Over 3 weeks, we brainstormed possible solutions to create stronger connections amongst women in the middle youth in the Adelaide Hills, and particularly to look at how community centres could better meet the needs of that particular group that are not a typical audience of a community centre sort of programs and offerings. So that was really interesting because we looked at what the different programs were, what was available in the community, what people saw were the strengths of what was available, what was being underutilised. And based on that, came up with a number of ideas that they wanted to work with the community centre on developing that would specifically meet the needs of women in their age group.
So what sort of things were their solutions, Nadia?
So they came up with a community cafe model, which is a partnership with local businesses that supports volunteers hosting a table once a week that is available for people sort of to drop in and have a conversation. So that's a community cafe model, very sort of low pressure, come and have a chat and you'll be warmly welcomed by trained volunteers. They secondly came up with a social program, so Spark Social, which is a calendar of activities that is led by volunteers and promoted throughout the community. There was a strong focus on nature-based experiences, so the activities have included a number of walks around areas within the Adelaide Hills. There have been some creative workshops as well. And again, they're hosted by trained volunteers and there's, you know, an opportunity to chat, walk, get some fresh air, be in nature, and then stop and have a chat, you know, a coffee afterwards. Since then, so they've been the two major initiatives. A couple of others have sort of sprung up organically based on the conversations that have been held between women in the group. So just recently, Spark Co-work has been established with a number of women getting together and setting up a co-work space in one of the local cafes. And that's just to promote, you know, that connection for people who are working from home and or missing that, you know, connection that comes from being in the office and an office environment. So, yeah, there are a couple of examples. We have also run a similar process with men in the community and they have developed an initiative called Spark Mateship that focuses on a kind of a once a week drop-in session at the Bridgewater Social Club that includes casual chat, pool, darts, sausage sizzle and just, you know, kind of, again, just a general low-key drop-in, have a chat. People are there for the same reason and you're, again, warmly welcomed by trained volunteers that, yeah, will just make you feel welcome and supported. That's one of the most recent initiatives, about 6 weeks new, and is going really well. So that was, as you can see, something quite different that the men wanted. It was a little different to the initiatives that the women came up with.
And Nadia, what you've described to me is something that could be run in any community centre.
Yeah, absolutely. So community centres do this work brilliantly. It was great to be able to partner with the community centre. You know, community centres do social connection better than anyone. The research of what we brought to the project was the latest evidence, the expertise in being able to evaluate the initiative. So one of the exciting things that we are doing is the trained volunteers, who are called Sparkies, actually collect information at the end of every event and initiative so that we can kind of track how the programs are doing. And really the exciting thing about that is that it really takes the pressure off people having to fill in questionnaires and provide information about what they're doing and how they're going. You know, we really wanted to create a low pressure, welcoming environment where, you know, people didn't need to worry about answering questions or providing data. However, as you know, it's really tough in the community sector to provide programs and services for the community. It's often supported by volunteers and community centres that are working with limited resources, and being able to collect information to show, wow, what we're doing is really making a difference is really important, and working out how that can be done in a, I guess, a sensible way that provides information that we can share with funders and decision makers to support, you know, further resourcing of this type of work, but without putting an impost on the community, who are really just there to connect, have some fun, and, you know, not feel kind of pressured to provide kind of information or continually being asked to complete surveys and the like, because I think we are, as a community, a little bit sick of having to complete another survey.
Well, that's that social impact outcome, isn't it, Nadia? The government needs it to justify the funding, but that takes away some of the enjoyment of the participation.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm. So what's next then, Nadia, for the project? Has it finished up, or what's the timeline? Are you looking forward to extending the project, or is it reshaping another form or being rolled out? Where's its future?
The formal project ends at the end of this month, actually. Although it started as a research project with some funds from a grant, we were very much keen for it to be developed by the community, with the community, so that it can be sustained. So we're very much hopeful, and in fact are working this out right now with the community centre to embed what has been developed into existing programming. We would love to work with other councils, community centres and organisations who are interested in developing similar initiatives for their community. The great thing about, I think, the process that we used is just putting a call out to a group of people who you want to reach, who you aren't currently reaching, and working with them to say, okay, what is it? What do we need to do for, you know, this program or service to work better for you, and creating that with the community. It's been really exciting to see the creativity that the community has. And when you involve people from the start, it does create a real sense of ownership for the work. And I think that really also speaks to sustainability in the future. You know, if you've got a pipeline of community members who are really passionate about what they have come up with, willing to support it in a volunteer capacity, and you have an organisation who is willing to provide the support in terms of the administrative support and everything else that you need to wrap around initiatives for them to work, it really is a great partnership.
And that sustainability has got to come from people just wanting to be involved. Otherwise, it just becomes a pilot program and you don't get the long-term benefits of leveraging all of that work.
That's right, Kerry.
Well, Nadia, that's just been fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us today. I've enjoyed having you as a podcast guest, and I'm sure everyone will be thrilled to hear the work that the University of South Australia and our community centre, The Hut, have been doing, and well done to you.
Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you.
On behalf of all the Community Centres SA teams, thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch with us at communitycentressa.asn.au. We'll be back next week. But wherever you are, at home, with your work and in your daily life, we hope that we have planted a seed to enable ongoing community conversations.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.